I want to invite you this morning to open your Bibles to a number of passages, but we're going to begin. You can begin with, let me get to it and find out. 1 Samuel chapter 2. It's amazing to me how when multiple things are going on the Lord's Day that sometimes the Lord just sort of knits them together, and we don't have any idea it's going to happen until it does. And I'm talking about Brother Nate's Sunday school lesson and how he started it off, and talking about us doing things when the Lord gives us an opportunity to do that. You remember the kids' song, The Obedience? Do you remember? How many of you know the Obedience song? Let's sing it together. You sing with me.
Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. Doing exactly what the Lord commands, doing it happily. Action is the key, do it immediately. Joy you will receive. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe. O-B-E-D-I-E-N-C-E. Obedience is the very best way to show that you believe.
How many of you never heard it before? Now you know, and you'll be able to sing it next time. We do that at Bible school a lot of times and children's get-togethers. I like the word in the middle where it says, action is the key. Do it when you get an opportunity. No, do it immediately. Do it immediately. That's my message this morning. Let's obey God immediately. We'll look at a number of passages that talk about doing it immediately. Growing up, I was regularly instructed to do things like, Danny, go get the mail. Our mailbox was a couple hundred yards from the house. I lived out in the country. And sometimes they would say, take out the trash. That was not just out to the end of the driveway. We had a dump that was down in the woods about a quarter of a mile. And we took it down there at times when that was allowable. And I remember being rebuked. I may have even gotten a spanking at times, and my dad knew how to spank. And I may have gotten a spanking on occasion when I would shout back to my parents, okay, in a minute. Did you ever do that? Okay, in a minute. The in a minute part was the part my dad didn't like. He didn't want me to wait. He wanted me to obey him now. Is that important? Can you teach children to obey now? You can. As a matter of fact, you can teach children to be anything you want them to be. You just have to make up your mind, you're going to do it. You can make those little sponges any shape that you want them as parents if you just insist that they do the right thing and not let them get by with what you threaten them with and don't accomplish. Well, the Lord wants us to obey Him immediately, immediately. As we grow up, our in-a-minute attitude sort of grows up with it. We give it more adult name. We call it procrastination, right? Are you a procrastinator? As an adult, in some situations, it's just not acceptable to wait a minute when you want want public transportation. The bus door opens and the driver looks out at the bus stop, but you have this conversation. Wait a minute, he's not going to wait. Some things they not going to wait for. When the school bell rings, the teacher will not wait for the kids to come to order. When it's time to punch in at work, the boss man doesn't want to wait a minute. He wants to get you working in that minute because he's paying you to do so. When you have a dentist appointment or a doctor's appointment, you know that you need to be there on time. Now, they don't have to see you on time, right? But you have to be there on time. I read this little thing. I thought it was funny. A busy dental office where I work, a lady writes, one patient always comes in late. Once he called to confirm an appointment, he said, I'll be about 15 minutes late. That won't be a problem, will it? She said, I told him, no, we just won't have time to give you any anesthetic. He arrived early, they said. He got there on time. When it's important to us, we'll be on time. Don't you hate to wait for people? No, I'm not talking about any of you, but I could. No, I won't. I won't say that. Be on time. Do it immediately. Be on time, especially when we're talking about the things of the Lord. In most situations, whether it's acceptable or not, or I should say many, maybe not most situations, we're not going to be hurried about some things. When we're picking up a friend for dinner, we don't necessarily have to be on time. We think to ourselves, well, you know, it's so-and-so, he'll understand. And perhaps they do understand, he or she. When we have to get off the phone because somebody else in the house is expecting an important phone call, that is for those of us who still have wires running to our house rather than just everybody having the cell phone, getting started on our to-do list. You ever put it off? I'll do that this afternoon. I'll do that tomorrow. I'll get started on my to-do list. Even our alarm clocks have a wait a minute button on them. We have a really neat name for it, a snooze. Doesn't that sound comfortable and cozy? A snooze button. A lot of people, you can't tell what button it is because all of the wording is worn off of it from their hitting it about 18 times every morning. Interestingly enough, one of the places that this mental malady shows up the most is in our faithfulness to the Lord. And that's what's important, isn't it? Lord, wait a minute. Wait a minute for our personal devotions. Did you ever put personal devotions off till after you see the weather report? Till after you read the headlines of the news? I have. Guilty. Are you guilty? You look pious this morning. Are you guilty or no? Yeah, we're all guilty of saying, wait a minute, to the Lord at times, witnessing to that neighbor. Lord, I'll do that. Give me a divine appointment. Give me a little push out the door, Lord. I need some help here. We pray and we wait. Sunday school, our prayer life. We don't have time. We push the snooze button on these and so many other things. And the point that I want to make is they never get done. A lot of those things don't get done then in the course of the day. The things we should do daily or weekly, they don't get done because we don't push ourselves into immediate obedience to the Lord. Often, this in-a-minute mentality can turn into even a more serious spiritual problem. Oftentimes, the Lord illuminates our path, a path of service that He wants us to walk down. And we say to Him, later, later, Lord. I think of seniors who I have talked to. I don't have anybody in mind, so if I'm preaching to you, it's the Spirit of God, it's not me. But I think of the seniors. What does God want you to do in your retirement? In our hoary head years, what does God want us to do? When we were young, we said to the Lord, I don't know how. And we needed a little more experience, and then we would be able to do more for the Lord. When you were in your prime, you didn't have time because you worked a job and there were so many things happening in your life. Now we have both time and knowledge, but we say, we don't have the strength. So for a whole life, we say no to the Lord because of something, because of some reason, some excuse that we like to make. We should be serving the Lord with all of our hearts, with all of our soul, and with all of our mind now. All of us. You don't have an excuse. But I dare say we don't serve the Lord like we ought. We put our things ahead of His things sometime. Are you guilty? Yeah, we all are, aren't we? But my guilt does not excuse you, and yours does not excuse me. We all ought to get busy serving the Lord with our heart and our soul and our mind. We ought to do what we can for the Lord. How about families? Where would God have your family serve Him today? You say, family? Yeah, family. God wants your family to be engaged in the work of the ministry. Where would He have you serve Him today? Do you think that your children will grow up to be adults who love and serve the Lord when while they're growing up you neglect Him, parents and grandparents? It won't happen. It won't happen. What you do in moderation, your children will do in excess. Do you believe that? I found it to be so. What you do half-heartedly, your children will do without heart. You believe that? They're always going to, the tendency is to do a little less. You represent the highest mark on the pole. And they're going to do a little, they're going to come in a little less in that. After all, they were in a different era. They grew up in a more churchy time, in a more spiritual time. And we're in this crazy world of electronics and information highway and all of these things. And we just don't have the time and we don't have the wherewithal to do as our parents did. So we're okay a little bit less. What you do half-hearted, your kids will do without heart. And they may just not do it at all. How about students? What does God want you to do with your summer? In our previous church, we had, I think, 5 college students went out from our church at one time. Some of them went to this college, others went to another college, and they would come back for the summer to be at home with their families and to, you would think, to serve in their church. But I'll tell you, a lot of them, especially from one of the colleges that we sent them, they would come home. They didn't offer to do anything while they were there. They're in Bible college preparing themselves to serve the Lord, and they would come home and spend 2.5 months and do absolutely nothing. When I was in college, several professors took it upon themselves to impress upon the hearts of the students, when you go home, ask your pastor, what can I do to help? They would encourage them to do that. My observation has proven their rebuke to some. They said, if you neglect allegiance and commitment to the Lord now, on your summer break, what you do for the Lord on your summer break is probably going to be very similar to what you do after you graduate. I have seen it to be so. We went to school in North Carolina. Mary Jean and I went to school, and they were called the Protein Boys. They were from Rocky Mount, North Carolina. We had other, these were super, super youth groups. They taught, they discipled, they spent much time, and these kids, they glowed in Bible college. They did good in their studies. They were the popular kids, and if you were to ask who's most likely to succeed, everybody would have written down their names. I could tell you now, one of them is a commercial airline pilot. One of them is a pig farmer. A number of them aren't doing anything. Some don't even go to church. The people that we graduated with. So sad. So sad. If we neglect our allegiance to the Lord while we're in school, if we sort of sit back on our laurels and live on past victories and we're praised by men and don't seek the praise of the Lord, we're never going to accomplish anything. Students, how about children? Children of all people should listen to a message like this. Even if they've taken a few wrong steps, they don't have far to go back and start over. They haven't lived much yet. We could encourage our children. We could encourage our grandchildren. Listen, you need to look at life differently. You need to put things in perspective. You need to put God first in your life. If you'll do that, He'll use you. If you'll do that, you'll be the happiest that you can possibly be serving the Lord. You've probably heard this question, why put off until tomorrow what can be done today? And yet we probably ask, some of us, at least, maybe we don't even think the question, but our attitude is, why do today what we can put off until tomorrow? What's the hurry? What's the hurry? Obviously, some of what we have to do must be put off until tomorrow. We can't do everything in one day. And so, which items can't wait? Yours or the Lord's? It's sad, I think. It's sad because most of us, if we're honest, maybe not how we think, maybe not philosophically, we would agree with that second position, but in practice we do. our things are more important than the Lord's, right? Sometimes they are to us, whether it's right or not. It's certainly true. We would probably all agree that if we die, if the Lord were to come back today, or if we were to die today, what we didn't get done for ourselves, we wouldn't care. But what we did not get done for the Lord would affect us as we enter into eternity and the loss of reward. Think about it. He's coming back. Maybe soon he's coming back. You know, I guess our problem is we're willing to bet it won't be today. We know he's coming back. Oh, he'll come back in our lifetime probably, but we never get to that point to where we say, maybe today. Come on, Lord. What's at stake? What's at stake when we say, later, Lord? What's at stake? Eternal reward is at stake, if you want to look at it selfishly. You're going to get to heaven and have nothing to offer because you didn't do anything. You were making excuses for 85 years, 90 years, making excuses about why you can't do anything for the Lord. Always putting those things of our physical realm ahead of the spiritual realm. We all agree, but we don't all believe that our time is short. We all agree when somebody says that, but we don't live like it. We don't live like it. Our eternal reward is at stake, but I think there's something much more important than that. The souls of others. Pass up opportunities. I'll do it later, Lord, later, not now. When we pass up those opportunities, souls are at stake because God uses us to tell other people about Jesus. Maybe your own children or your own grandchildren. And yet when the Lord lights our path and says, go ye, we consistently say, later, Lord. Later, Lord, you see, I'm too young, some might say. I want you to look at some passages of Scripture. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 12. I want to look at some excuses that we use. I hope I hit yours, as I have already been worked over by the Holy Spirit pertaining to my own excuses. Some would say, I'm too young. After the time of the judges, Eli was a priest who would not constrain his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas. 1 Samuel, the evils of the boys are described, and God's judgment on Eli's family is pronounced because Eli the priest won't take care of his boys. Look at what happens in verse 12. Now the sons of Eli were sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was in seething or while it was boiling with a flesh hook of three teeth in his hand, and he struck it into the pan or kettle or cauldron or pot. And that the flesh hook brought up, the priest took for himself. So they did in Shiloh also unto all the Israelites that came thither. That's how they were doing it. The priest had to eat, and he was supposed to eat of the meat that was brought to the Lord. That's how God instructed them. Verse 15 says, also, before they burnt the fat, the priest's servants came and said unto the man that sacrificed, give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw. And if any man said unto him, let them not fail to burn the fat presently, and then take as much as thy soul desireth, then he would answer him, nay, but thou shalt give it me now, and if not, I will take it by force. This is what Eli, sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were doing when people came with their sacrifice. I'll take that. We won't roast tonight for our meal. They didn't let them sacrifice their sacrifices. Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for men abhorred the offering of the Lord. 1 Samuel 2, 12 to 17. So God sent a messenger who said in verse 31, "Behold, the day come that I will cut off thine arm and the arm of thy father's house, and there shall not be an old man in thine house," he said to Eli. Verse 34, "And this shall be a sign unto thee that shall come upon thy two sons on Hophni and Phinehas. In one day they shall die, both of them." I'm going to do away with your family. The men that would follow you in the priesthood, they won't. I'm taking them out of the way. In the midst of all that was happening in Eli's family, the story of Samuel unfolds. It says in verse 18, But Samuel ministered before the Lord, being a child, girded with a linen ephod. Moreover, his mother made him a little coat and brought it to him from year to year when she came up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. So Hophni and Phinehas are still in the people's sacrificial meat, and Samuel's working in the temple. Chapter 3 and verse 3, let's continue that just a little bit. "And ere the lamp of God went out in the temple of the Lord," where the ark of God was, "and Samuel was laid down to sleep, that the Lord called Samuel, and he answered, 'Here am I.' And he ran to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou callest me. And he said, 'I called not, lie down again.' And he went and lay down, and the Lord called yet again, 'Samuel.' And Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And he answered, 'I called not, my son, lie down again.' Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he rose and went to Eli and said, 'Here am I, for thou didst call me.' And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, 'Go lie down. And it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say,'" listen to this, "'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.' So Samuel went and lay down in his place, and the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, and he said, 'Samuel, Samuel.' And Samuel answered, 'Speak, for thy servant heareth.'" He did exactly what Eli told him to do. And you know, Samuel got to know the Lord well, and the Lord worked through Samuel, this young man who was given by his mother Hannah, who was barren, but God gave her the seed. God gave her little Samuel, and she brought him right after he was weaned, just a little tyke, brought him to serve with Eli at the tabernacle. You're never too young. Is that true? Can God use little people? You're never too young to serve the Lord. What we need to do and what we need to teach our children, listen to this. You need to teach your kids. If you feel like the Lord wants you to do something, you say, "Yes, Lord, thy servant heareth." And go do it. They're not too young. You say, but you don't understand. My daughter's 3. She's not too young. Not too young to serve the Lord. How many times have you heard a child talk to their grandparents saying things you couldn't possibly say? They just, in their innocence, they can say anything. Maybe the Lord would use them to bring their grandparents or some adult to Him out of the mouth of babes. Out of the mouth of babes. Some of us might think, "Well, I'm too busy." Let me ask you to turn over to Luke chapter 10. During his earthly ministry, Jesus especially loved to visit his friends in Bethany. You remember Mary and Martha and Lazarus. And he was visiting there on one occasion just months before he died on the cross. And he passed through Bethany and stopped there. Verse 38. This is Luke 10:38. "Now it came to pass as they went that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his words. But Martha was cumbered about much serving." and came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful. You're concerned. You're worried about and troubled about many things. But one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Now picture this. The Lord and his disciples have come there, and somebody's got to get the meal ready, right? Somebody's got to do the work. And so Martha proceeds to do the work and get ready for her guests so that she might feed them. But the Lord Jesus is teaching, and Mary hears him teaching, and she goes and sits down at his feet and just leaves Martha all by herself getting ready. If you come to the conclusion, the concluding teaching of this little passage here, Martha should have left that alone and gone and listened while the Lord was teaching. Is that right? That was more important. You say, well, who would have fixed the meal? Well, she and Mary could have after the Lord was done with his teaching. But the Lord says she's chosen the better part. Now, there's a tremendous lesson there for us. Some of you ladies, I can see it in your face. You're saying, Pastor, you don't understand. No, I'm saying, ladies, you don't understand. You're never too busy. You're never too busy to serve the Lord. If God bids you do something, you need to leave your important things alone because his are more important than yours. Do what he bids you do. You're never too busy. Drop what you're doing and serve the Lord. We need to answer today, speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. We like the excuse, Lord, I'm sure you understand, but I don't know how to put things in words. I'm not good with words, Lord. I get so nervous. I have this deficiency. I want you to turn to Exodus chapter 3. Moses had been raised in Egypt. He was now in the Midian desert shepherding his father-in-law's sheep. He had left Egypt and he'd gone there. God gave him a wife and a son. And God commissioned him here in chapter 3 and verse 7 in that setting in Midian. He commissioned him to go and deliver his people from Egypt. Look at verse 7. Exodus 3:7. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt, and have heard their cry by reason of their taskmasters, and I know their sorrows. Verse 10. Come now, therefore, and I will send thee unto Pharaoh, that thou mayest bring forth my people and the children of Israel out of Egypt. I'll bring my people out of Egypt. You're the man. Who's he talking to? Moses. Moses sort of contended. Look at chapter 4 and verse 10. 4:10. Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I'm not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh thee dumb, or deaf, or seeing, or blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. Is God going to do less to us whom he's commissioned? Oh, not to go lead the children of Israel. Not to lead any great mass of people out of their bondage. But God has commissioned us nonetheless to go and tell the world the good news that Jesus Christ died and was buried and rose from the dead, to pay the price for their redemption, for their reconciliation, to bring them back into his presence. You say, but I've got arthritis. But I don't have an education. But can you hear the Lord? Who made your mouth? Who made your body? If I tell you to do something, God will empower it. God will pay for it. All he needs is us available servants. You're not deficient. You're not insufficient. Philippians says, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. So we need to say to the Lord when he bids us, speak. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. It's a shame, but sometimes we say, Lord, that's too costly. That'll cost me too much. There's an example of this in Matthew chapter 19, Matthew 19, 16. Jesus was on his way to Judea from Galilee when he was approached by a young man. You'll recognize this in verse 16. Matthew 19, 16. Behold, one came and said unto him, Good master, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life? And he said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. But if thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. He said unto him, Which? Which commandment? Isn't that a dumb question? Which one do you want me to keep, Lord, so I can be in the kingdom? And Jesus said, Thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, honor thy father and mother, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And the young man said unto him, All these things have I kept from my youth up. What lack I yet? Jesus said unto him, If thou wilt be perfect, go and sell that thou hast and give to the poor. And thou shalt have treasure in heaven and come and follow me. But when the young man heard that saying, he went away sorrowfully. Why? Because he had great possessions. His excuse for not following the Lord is, Lord, it's too costly. It's too costly. The Lord said unto him, Come and follow me. Oh, Lord, I can't. It'll cost me too much. Jesus, in the Sermon on the Mount, said, Lay not up for yourself treasures upon earth where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourself treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt and where thieves do not break through and steal. You see, we sacrifice the temporal things for the sake of the eternal. Have you heard me say, have you heard others say, you can't outgive God? There's no way. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and the things that money buys, mammon. You can't do it. It's impossible. Ooh, that's a hard thing for us Americans, us Westerners, to hear. You know, God has blessed me so much. And what we mean when we say that is we have so much stuff. God has blessed me so much. I spoke to my brother, Randy. Randy used to buy Transams about twice a year. Sometimes he'd lose $2,000, sometimes he'd lose $3,000. I saw him buy one car and he didn't like the color when he got home and he took it back and traded it for another. And then he went from cars to trucks. I don't remember how many pickup trucks. I'm talking four-wheel drive, long extended cabs and I don't know how many trucks he bought and equipment and all sorts of things he bought. It brought tears to my eyes this week, being with him. He said, you know, Danny, the Lord's taught me none of this matters at all. He's wasted more money than I'll ever earn, but he's learned a valuable lesson. And I've learned it through him as well. None of that matters at all. It will not cost you too much. You'll be the better when you give it all to the Lord, when you hold on to the things of the world loosely, when the Lord says something to you, say, Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Another excuse, I have other important responsibilities too, you know. It's like we have to categorize all we're about as good things. good things. I need to find out which good thing that I put first. And there's all sorts of good things. Lord, I have other important responsibilities. I can't do that. Don't ask me to do that right now. Just after our Lord's appearance to James, Peter, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration, they went through the village of Samaria. And I want you to turn and look at this in Luke chapter 9 and verse 57. I have other responsibilities. Look at this illustration here in verse 57. Luke 9:57. And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me to go first, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead. But go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. They were saying, Lord, I'll be happy to do that, but I have to do this first. I have to do this first. No, you don't have to do that first. It may be unconventional. It may be advice that you say, nobody will understand this. But if God bids you, then you need to do what God says first. You need to answer him, Lord, speak. Thy servant heareth. Lastly, I'll use this one. All of us here in this room have been around a little while, and we're at a place in life where we can look both ways. There's some time behind and some time in front, and probably the older of us, we realize there's less time in front than there is behind, and we start to understand the brevity of life. And we realize that there's not that far to go, not so many years to go. And we say, well, I'm too old. Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15. After Joshua had led Israel in taking the land from its inhabitants, and he did a good job. They didn't follow through and destroy all the inhabitants of the land, but he had done a good job before he died. And he gathered the people together, and he said to them in chapter 24 and verse 15, And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. You look down to verse 29. It came to pass after these things that Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of the Lord, died, being 110 years old. Anybody there? No, you're not there yet. 110 years old, still serving the Lord. Speak, Lord. Thy servant heareth. You know, if I die tomorrow, I want to be busy serving the Lord today. How about you? I want to finish strong. We live in a day in which conservative, biblical, Bible-based Christians, those who really believe the truth, those who really love the Lord, and they've held on to the doctrine of separation, as they get older, they retire. They retire from their jobs, they retire from their responsibilities, they retire from the Lord. And I'm saying to us this morning, that's not right. In every chapter of our life, our desire ought to be, Lord, use me. And he will. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. I'm not trying to convince you this morning that you can do anything that you want to do for the Lord. What I would really like to convince you of is that you can do anything the Lord wants you to do. Did you hear the difference? It's not what you want, it's what he wants. Have you stopped to consider, Lord, what do you want? God always equips his servants. You can do anything that you ought to do. God always pays for and He always empowers what He asks us to do. When you've spent a lifetime saying, "Later, Lord," what's it going to be like when you get into His presence? What excuse will you make then? I'm not trying to be unkind, just realistic. We're going to stand in the presence of the Lord. We're going to be rewarded according to our works. Not our sins, but our works. The things we've done for Him, we'll receive reward. And we'll have these crowns, these things that we can just cast back at the Lord Jesus and say, all the glory to Him. You will have nothing to throw at the feet of Jesus. In New Zealand, a woman drove 25 years. She had no driver's license. 25 years. They called her and she stood before the judge and she said to the judge, "Your Honor, I only drive on roads that have very little traffic. And none of those roads lead by the offices where I could apply for a driver's license." And that's it. It's silly. How silly will it sound when we're, Lord, what will we say to Him? Abraham was old. God used him. Isaac was a daydreamer. God used him. Jacob was insecure. Job was bankrupt. Leah was unattractive. Joseph was abused. Moses stuttered. Rahab was a prostitute. Naomi was a widow. Gideon was afraid and poor. Samson was codependent. David had an affair. He was a murderer and he had lots of family problems. Jonah ran from God. Elijah was suicidal. Jeremiah was depressed. John the Baptist was eccentric. Timothy was too young and timid, and he probably had an ulcer. Peter was impulsive, and he denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while he was praying. Martha worried about everything. The Samaritan woman was divorced more than once. Zacharias was too small, and he was very unpopular. Thomas had his doubts. Paul was in poor health. Lazarus was dead. Those are the people God used in the Word of God. What's your excuse? Can you imagine standing before the Lord and say, "Lord, I was just too young. Lord, I was too busy. Lord, I had this deficiency. I had this illness. It cost too much, Lord. I had other important responsibilities. Lord, you know, by the time I got in my mind, I was too old to do anything. Lord, help me not to have to say those things. Help us. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth." Our invitation can come right out of the Word of God. What? "Know ye not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God? And you are not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Redeeming the time. Redeeming the time. Buying it back. Using it up. Because the days are evil. If ever that was true, it's now. Let's pray. Father, I pray that you would bless these thoughts. By our response, I pray that you would be glorified. Lord, help us not to make excuses when you speak to us by your Spirit. Help us to just be obedient immediately. I pray that it would not be a common practice of saying, "Later, Lord." Our laters are running out, Lord. Help us to serve you as we ought. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.